everyone, Jackie here, one of the voices behind 10 Minutes to Change, and welcome to Vulnerability Talks, episode 3. So I'll kick us off by saying, today I want to explore the nexus of the environment and the economy. This tends to be a pretty contentious issue, with the two usually pitted against each other. So hopefully today we can find some reconciliation there. This episode is a part of our vulnerability series, as I've really struggled with my thoughts and feelings surrounding free market economics in the past, and how those things intertwine with my own identity. This is kind of an unusual thing to worry about, but here we are. So as some of you may know, I have a background in environmental economics. I did my undergrad in economics at the University of British Columbia and followed that up with a master's from Queen's. I've always had really mixed emotions about sharing my educational background with people. I spent the majority of my adult life in Vancouver, which is a city that really prides itself on environmentalism. And that's largely why I was drawn there in the first place. Inevitably, I crossed paths with so many amazing environmentalists and conservationists and just environmentally minded people. And many of those people I am so, so grateful to have encountered. But sometimes, admittedly rarely, when I was meeting new people and we exchanged the obligatory, "What do you study?" question, my response was met with apprehension or outright disdain. And this definitely wasn't the most common perception, but those occasions in which my values and beliefs had been reduced to a preconceived notion surrounding the word economics have really stuck with me. This has led me to ask myself a few key questions. Can these two identities coexist for me? Can I be an economist or an environmental steward without having to justify or diminish one of those things? Clearly, some people think not, and their concerns aren't entirely unfounded. The system that we're operating in isn't serving us well. Our economy is for the rich and the powerful, and most certainly not for the environment. Throughout these experiences, I've found that the term capitalism has come to feel like a dirty word representing a system that is inherently bad. This connotation has led to some shame and guilt for me, because despite all of these things, I'm not convinced it's time to throw in the towel with free market economics. Today on the pod, I'm going to share with you my understanding of capitalism and its shortcomings. I actually had a really difficult time recording this episode, which might come as a surprise to some of you if you know me well, as I've been known to ramble about this topic pretty freely. I think part of the reason I've struggled so much is because I'm not 100% sure what I want to say. I'm in the process of learning and unlearning, as we all are, so I'm not quite ready to stand atop my convictions. What I am ready to do is pull up a chair, figure out where I'm at, and be open to filling those gaps through other perspectives. Hopefully you want to do that with me. And that brings me to a disclaimer. Although my training is in economics, my specialty is somewhat of a fringe topic in the discipline. So don't ask me for any stock market tips. Now that we've covered all of that, let's get into it. What truly is capitalism? Free market economics, or capitalism, has come to mean many different things to many different people. I totally respect that. The context in which we experience capitalism is important in informing our own definitions. That being said, I'm going to consider the economic theory of capitalism primarily through an academic lens. This is likely different from the cultural or political theory and our lived experiences, and hopefully we'll get into some of those intersections on another episode. We're going to take things all the way back to Microeconomics 101. Bear with me. Economics is defined as the study of the allocation of scarce goods. All that means is that we have limitations. Our time, money, and natural world are limited, so we need to figure out how to engage with those best. One of the solutions to the scarcity issue is capitalism, free market economics. Capitalism, in its essence, allocates scarce resources based on value. For instance, if I like cherries more than mangoes and you feel the exact opposite, then I should have the cherries and you should have the mangoes. Win-win. Capitalism relies on individuals to do what they do and expects a positive outcome, because we all want what's best for ourselves and our loved ones. Here's the problem. How do we tell who values what most? A universal measurement to serve this purpose was introduced as a price. That is, whoever's willing to pay the most for something gets to keep it. If you can imagine a world where we all have a similar amount of money, or a fair opportunity to make money, Maybe you could envision this working, but that's not where we've ended up today. Where we have ended up is in a circumstance where price is no longer a good measure of value. Some more microeconomics coming your way. There are a few key places where economic theory has determined that free market capitalism fails. In these instances, we can't take the hands-off approach. The market requires intervention to make sure it can still operate properly. One of these instances is when the pricing system breaks down, which can result through a handful of different mechanisms and is especially prevalent and problematic when dealing with goods and services that we all share freely, like our planet. So we have a price, right? And sometimes that works really well. Chances are you have a good idea of what you're willing to spend on groceries. But what if I asked you to value a tree? You probably don't have a great idea of what that should cost. I don't. Historically, when this good was priced, we valued the tree for its lumber, its ability to transform. We never considered that this tree was playing a pivotal role in our ecosystem that we actively benefit from, like storing carbon, for instance. This environmental service is extremely valuable. If we factored this benefit into our decision to let the tree live or to cut it down for its lumber, we would definitely have more trees. But right now, for many of our natural assets, we're ignoring those benefits. Environmental economists try and quantify the benefits and costs of environmental services in hopes to remedy this issue. Carbon pricing, for example, tries to quantify the cost of the present and future harm produced by carbon emissions, charge that price, and have people and companies use less as a result. When fossil fuels are burned, users pay for the direct costs, like gasoline to fill your car, for example. But we don't have to pay for all the other things that result from those carbon emissions, like healthcare costs from pollution and climate catastrophes or property damage from flooding and sea level rise. If we put a price on those damages, the cost of emitting carbon dioxide increases, which leads people and companies to use less because of our limitations. The purpose of quantifying these damages is to signal to stakeholders that these things pose costs to our society. This idea can be extended to many different circumstances. On the flip side, we can also quantify the benefits that natural assets graciously provide for us. Think of nature-based solutions. This type of policy essentially manages ecosystems to ensure they're healthy, which ensures they can provide those key environmental services and improves their climate resilience. For example, think about mangroves. These ecosystems provide protective barriers to coastal communities, they encourage biodiversity, and they act as a carbon sink. We can effectively quantify the value of the benefits that nature brings us. Not that these things are monetary in nature, but this nonetheless provides a universal signal. There's a lot of resistance to the valuation of nature. Sometimes it feels kind of yucky. I definitely understand that and sometimes feel that way as well. But I've come to think of this valuation as a translation of sorts. In a system that uses price to signal value, in order to communicate the endless benefits brought to us by nature to those who might not quite see it, we need to be speaking the same language. By undertaking this mission to determine the hidden costs and benefits to society and communicating them effectively, we can remedy the current dysfunctional price system, thus correcting the market failure. And speaking of market failures, one of the most substantial ones that we face in our society today is market power. The price system breaks down when a company or individual gains too much power. In this situation, as tends to be the case these days, money is power. As a result, income and wealth inequality actually work against free market economics. This is because the price we're willing to pay is no longer reflective of our true values. So when we think about companies like Walmart or Facebook or Amazon or Big Oil or Big Pharma or super rich people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, these people and companies aren't actually the poster child for the success of capitalism. But instead, I think we need to consider if a truly functional capitalistic system would allow this type of wealth to be produced and concentrated. In instances of market failure, economic theory says that a different force must step in and correct the failure, like the government. This system is often considered the antithesis of government intervention, but that could not be farther from the truth in economic theory. The two require reciprocity. And even more importantly, we require reciprocity between humanity and our planet. I think another huge part of this issue worth mentioning is that our society is currently so disconnected from nature and each other. So the value of nature and equality doesn't naturally show up or necessarily make sense. Reforming our own value system to inherently identify and understand these benefits is really essential, which then feeds into our everyday lives, our democracy, and our economic system. I can draw a lot of parallels between the issues that people have with capitalism and the market failures of capitalism itself. People are rightfully upset that our environment is being degraded, largely at the hands of people so rich they don't know what to do with themselves, as our society simultaneously ignores those most in need. These issues are huge, and in my opinion, a result of market failure. We need strong social policy and cultural reform to provide a crutch to the market where we know it falls short. In this sense, I don't think capitalism is the enemy, mainly because I don't think we're doing it right. This isn't all to say that capitalism is the be-all end-all of organizing ourselves. There are still so many unknowns. If we were to correct all of these market failures, would free market economics be environmentally sustainable? In theory, yes. But I'm still coming to terms with a lot of the problematic associations with the term capitalism, which makes me question, are the cultural and political notions of capitalism separable from what it was to be in theory? Or has capitalism defined itself over the last several centuries? These are things I'm still grappling with. So what does this all mean for sustainability in our future? Frankly, I don't know. The one thing I do know is that we need to make meaningful change in our economic system relatively quick. The enormity and inevitability of climate change demands that. If we can correct some of the shortcomings of free market economics in pursuit of a just, prosperous, and sustainable economy, then I definitely think that solution is worth discussing. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. How do you feel about free market economics? Do you think we can make it work? How do you envision our society's future? Let's keep this conversation going. Stay with me and the rest of the crew on this journey to answer some of these tough questions by subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. I used to be an Apple person, but I'm slowly shifting over to Spotify. Luckily, you can find us in either spot. Follow us on Instagram at 10 Minutes of Change Podcast, and feel free to reach out to me personally if you have any thoughts or feelings on this topic. Huge thanks to everyone who's stuck with me through this whole episode. Talk to you soon. Thank you.